We welcome into the Mug Studios Shreya Agrawal. Shreya, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks, Corey, for having me be here.
I asked you yesterday via email, how do you pronounce your last name? And you gave me a nice pronouncer on that, but I was overlooking your first name, and I thought it was Shreya, and you come in and say it's Shreya, and I'm like, thanks a lot.
No, that was great. I appreciate it.
I got your last name, at least.
Thank you.
And I did correct on the first name, Shreya.
Yes.
So you got a lot of experience here. I was looking over what you sent me here. You're involved in a lot of nonprofits, got a lot of experience with nonprofits, and still involved in several.
Yeah, so my husband and I moved to North Platte about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. He's a physician at the hospital, and I had the opportunity to get on the homeless shelter board right away, and that allowed me to then get involved in a lot of other nonprofits. So I think just being on a lot of different boards here at the Hospital Foundation, the College Foundation, Bridge of Hope, it allowed me to just understand our community in a very different way. I've been able to, for the last 10 years, work with a lot of executive directors that have been doing so much good work from the nonprofit sector and really trying to help people that might be struggling or that have a lot of different needs. And they provide so many wraparound services, and a lot of them actually touch our school system. And that's how I started truly paying attention to what's happening within our school and within our board, and that's why I'm here today.
Public health is your thing. I see you received a graduate degree from Johns Hopkins University, and then also a business degree from Yale University. So I think that alone qualifies you for sure. You got the knowledge and the foundation and all those years of experience with these different nonprofits that you mentioned. But overall, what would you say is motivating you to get involved in the school board race for Ward 1?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I think it has a lot to do with just truly paying attention to what's been going on. I've had the opportunity to go to every board meeting since August, and just seeing the interaction in the room has been very clear that there are some things that are happening that might be concerning. And I want to point out two specific things. I just was showing up to the meetings to better understand. I didn't have the mindset to say, well, I'm going to run for this seat. But the two instances specifically were when they were talking about the budget. Angela Blasey just very rudely told the administrators that they just need to make it work. And then she voted down the budget. And what that told me was that we have a board member who's not trying to understand the budget or provide any feedback in what can be done differently. But we're just trying to say we're not going to have a budget, and you can't run a school district with that. So given my MBA and the financial background, I thought there is some value add. I can ask some different types of questions and really work with the administrators to figure out what do we need to truly be looking at, not just this year, but in the next 3 to 4 years. And then the second instance, which also threw me, was when specifically talking about policy, Emily Garrick very clearly said that she doesn't have to listen to lawyers because the lawyers had a very different opinion to where they were going. And she said, the lawyers are not up here making the decisions. We are. And that to me is concerning because KSB is a law firm that is supporting so many school districts across the state. That's their job. Their job is to protect the school district, to protect teachers, to protect board, to make sure that they're making the right decisions. Right. And if you're not going to be listening to your lawyers, that is actually concerning if you think you know better than them. So I think we need to start to take back a lot of the rhetoric right now and just kind of bring people together, be collaborative in how we're thinking, have open dialogue, but not just put our heels to the ground and say, this is how I believe it. I disagree with everybody else, and that's how we're going to move forward. And I think we need to just calm a lot of that down and go back to actually having discussions based on facts and not just based on people's feelings, because I think feelings are very high right now in that room.
Okay, so getting too much of emotions involved leading to maybe some disunity, huh?
Yep, okay. Definitely.
To be clear, you're not running in Emily Garrick's ward. She's in Ward 3.
Yes.
And to be clear to our listeners, Stuart Simpson is your opponent, but both of you are guaranteed to move on to the general election. So
yes.
I mean, doesn't matter so much in this May election coming up. You both are guaranteed that you will go on no matter how the votes go on that one. But you wanted to get with us to kind of get a heads up about ahead of time, months before the general election, on what your thinking is and, mm-hmm. and how you think you can improve the board. And you just kind of alluded to what you picked up in attending the board meetings that you don't like, that you'd like to change. So to that end, if elected, what is your thinking on some steps that you would take, or just by your behavior and demeanor, that you would make it more in line with what you think it needs to be, a kinder, gentler board, more unified? What would you do to try to get that going in that direction?
I think the first thing is bringing the administrators back to the table. If you look at how the meetings are run right now, they really are on the sidelines. I think a lot of the policy conversations where they should be involved, Joanne usually is the only one that's involving them. And I think as independent thinkers for the board members, we have to go out and talk to administrators and truly understand the issues. As a candidate, I've had a chance to talk to 8 different directors to truly understand what's happening with our student services, with our special education. How is our communication department better now than it has been over the last 5 years? And so it will require us to all, whoever's on the board in the future, to go and have those conversations, to mm-hmm. then bring real questions to the board meeting where everyone comes in and talks about the issues. Dysfunction is not dialogue. And I feel like what I've been seeing a lot more right now is that's how they're saying this is a dysfunctional board because we're having dialogue. Dialogue is never a bad thing. But if you can have dialogue where everyone comes in by having their own information, having talked to people, I think that's what matters. So mm-hmm. I truly want to start to restore some of that dialogue. And I want us to start thinking about the long term. When we've been focused on that budget, the fact that we've had to take $2.5 million as a loan to be able to make payroll tells me we're not thinking about the next 4 to 5 years. If you look at the number of buildings that need maintenance, the student services, when they presented, there was an entire thing about security cameras need to get updated in the next few years. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things in order for us to have safe schools, in order for us to have really focused on our academic performance. Mm-hmm. We need to keep updating things within our school buildings. And in order to do that, we need to have a long-term plan, and mm-hmm. we need to really go back and fix the budget. So one of the first things I really want to do is understand the budget even more and truly sit down to say what are potential changes we can make. And then during the interim interviews, it was interesting because Mr. Grizzle, the second candidate, came up and said, your budget is feast or famine. Like, right now, you're not thinking as a district in the long term. It's just what's happening today. So I think as a board, we need to pause on just what's happening today and truly, truly think about our future.
Hmm. Well, and to do that, you inject priorities. You have to come up with a list of priorities. So lay that out. What would be your priority for budgeting? And what do you think it's out of whack right now? And how would you bring that into adjustment with your priorities?
I think it comes back to just what is your income stream coming in and then what are the expenses. So Dr. McDonald did a really good presentation a couple meetings back where he laid out exactly what's happening with our funding, which has been decreasing in the next year, especially with just the state aid coming in.
Right.
And then he talked a lot about the expenses as well. So truly sitting down and understanding what's right now in our general fund, where is it that we can continue to decrease, and if we cannot, then we need to talk about really, what does that mean? If we need to actually increase our income, what does that look like? Are there any other grants that we can be applying to? We are going to have a conversation about property taxes. And that's why when I go out, we're not going to vote till November, so I still have a few months. But every single person mm-hmm. that I will talk to in my ward, that's a question I'm going to ask them. What do you care about? Because I think it's not just my opinion. It's about everybody else. Mm-hmm. And based on the presentation, he said if you raise it by your property taxes by 2 or 3 cents for the next 2 years, you might have enough cash where you can actually bring it back down after that. It just truly depends on what is it that the voters want. And then the other is, if you really need to decrease expenses, where are the biggest expenses we can mm-hmm. bring down? Is it have to do with buildings? That need to be, we need to talk through to say, it's a very complicated solution. Mm-hmm. But what could that look like if there were some buildings that, when you're looking to the future, do we all need to have the same exact buildings we currently have? Mm-hmm. So it's not a conversation I can have and tell you, here's what I believe, because one, I don't know the numbers enough. I only see what we see in terms of the total aggregate. So when you truly go down and break it down, that's the type of information I would need to understand as a board member. And then also, what is it that voters that live in Ward 1 really truly want?
Okay, so a combination of things would go into you determining what that final list of priorities would be. It's clear from what you said earlier that security for the students, you mentioned updating the cameras at the buildings, the district's buildings, is important because of that, you know, and we need upgrades. Facilities are in constant need to some degree or the other in upgrades. That kind of has to be a priority, but then most people say, well, students always, your students take precedence and all that, but really security goes along with that too. If you don't provide this security for them and looking out for them, then everything else is kind of a moot point, isn't it? You start with the making sure they can go there and you know as a parent that they're secure, and if something happens, it's going to be filmed and everything, you know, is out in the open. There isn't going to be anything, you know, he said, she said type deal, right?
Exactly. And I think our law enforcement relationship with the school district is really strong.
Yeah.
What happened a few weeks ago, I think it was, yes, within minutes, I think they had the perimeter secured and they were on campus and doing so. I think the student services with their partnership with Jeremiah Johnson and Brian Smith, they've done a really, really great job in making sure that they keep up to date on what needs to happen on all the elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools. So I think that's really important. At the end of the day, I think we have to go back to, for our community to truly have strong schools, we have to invest in our schools and we have to invest in our school district. And we do that by paying attention to what's going on. We do that by showing up and voting. And then we also do that by financially supporting our schools. So I know there's a lot of positive partnerships with our business community that do a lot of donations to the foundation. So there's lots of different mechanisms through which I feel like our schools are supported. And I think moving forward, we need to make sure that we continue to do that, because it's not just a school board member that can come up and make those differences. It's the entire community that I feel like, and we've shown up a lot, and we just need to continue to do that to really support our students.
I find it interesting that you've already, I mean, even before you made a decision to run, that you decided to go to the board meetings. Last August, you said you started going to them.
And I did.
Been a regular attender since then.
I think
so you pick up a lot of things there rather than just hearing things. And I'm sure you maybe initially what prompted you is you were hearing things or reading things, you know, accounts of what was happening. And some of what was troubling you, is that what led you to start going to it? And
yes, definitely.
I need to get firsthand experience and see if what I'm hearing is or reading is really true.
100%. Yeah. And I think for me, I'm 100% committed to whatever I do. So all of my community involvement, every single board that I'm a part of, I show up and I show up prepared. So for me, before deciding, I wanted to just show up to see if this would be something that would excite me, if I would actually be able to go to more board meetings, prepare for board meetings, and ask the questions that needed to be asked. And I really enjoyed going to and talking to the different administrators, talking to school principals, because that's allowed me to understand what's been happening. I have two kids that attend an elementary school.
I was going to ask you that, I'm sorry I didn't ask you that earlier. So
nope, that's okay.
People know that you have two kids.
I have two kids that are part of the elementary schools in the North Platte Public School system, and I've had really good conversations with teachers there as well. So all of this has helped me just learn a lot more. I'm a big learner, and for me, the best way that I can decide whether or not I'm moving forward with something is to show up, to be prepared, and to just gather as much information as I can. So going to those meetings has truly helped me understand how the dialogue goes, how I can be better prepared if I was to get elected, and what are the things that we need to truly start prioritizing. That right now, the dialogue sometimes isn't there, and it seems like some decisions are made outside, and I want to kind of change that. I want us to really truly come to the table thinking about the questions that we have and thinking about how can we make this district better.
Isn't a lot of it just how you handle conflict and differences of opinion? Isn't it, in a nutshell, kind of boil down to, you know, everybody has different ways of handling it, and some don't like to deal with it and get frustrated and say, you know, some people have the my way or the, it's got to be my way or the highway, and other people, like, you know, they get so frustrated, I don't care, do what you want, you know.
Yes.
Type thing.
I think it's conflict resolution, but it's also self-reflection. So something that's been really interesting to me is since January, there's been so much change that's happened in that school district that no one has anticipated. The fact that you had a superintendent who resigned after being in 40 years of education, and he's been in so many districts. When you talk about conflict resolution, I think there's a self-reflection here, which I have not heard from the board president to say, what could she have done differently to repair that relationship early on? Because since she's been president of that board, there's been more friction between her and the superintendent that left. But there's a role that everybody plays, especially in the conflict resolution. So it would be great to actually have her pause. And she's never done that in any meetings. Joanne has come out and very clearly said that there has been some conflict, there has been some issues, and there's ways that she wants to repair it. But I think it requires self-reflection. Like, what could the school board president have done differently in order for that relationship to have gotten better and for him to have actually stayed?
I think I see. What I'm hearing you say is that take a step back, and instead of always taking the approach of defending yourself or just assuming that your way is the best way, to think about it a little bit and maybe receive some friendly criticism from other people and weigh it, you know, and say, maybe I do need to change my approach a little bit, type thing. And you seem willing to do that with what do I hear you saying this morning, is that that would be your approach to connect with your Ward 1 people, obviously, if elected, and listen to what their priorities and concerns are. And you seem open to that. I mean, you seem to be the person that doesn't have, you know, you have ideas, I know, from what you're talking about, but you're not one that's going to go in there and be the battering ram and saying, these are ideas I have, we need to implement these, you know, right?
Yes, I think it takes, there's three different groups here, if you really truly think about it. There's the voters, who are the people that I would love to talk to more when we do door-to-door. There's the administration. So it's everybody that's at McKinley, but it's also all the school leaders, all our principals, our staff, who have been here for a long time. And I think it's truly understanding what are the biggest issues that they're facing right now in the schools. There's a lot of things that we need to be focusing on. So you have a community, you have the administration, and the third really is the board itself, right? The board itself, people come from different perspectives, different experiences that they're bringing to the board, which is great.
Yeah.
But you can't have these three things be in isolation. And I feel like right now they are. They're siloed, and we're not having the type of conversation because over time, trust has been broken. So a big part of, I think, a new election allows us to say, is this a direction we want to continue to go in, or can we pause, get a new group in who can actually figure out a way to start building trust across the three different groups, so then we can start to think about the future. We can have tough conversation. Our school district in the next couple of years most definitely will need to, because our budget is not where it needs to be. If you have a community that's growing, if you have more needs for a curriculum, if we want to make our students feel like they can actually be very successful adults when they graduate from high school, we need to keep increasing that opportunity for them. And all of that requires investment. Therefore, I feel like our school district, in order for them to succeed, we need to bring everybody together. And that can't happen if we're pointing fingers or taking blame. It's more about how do we work collaboratively and collectively to make a positive change.
A lot of good thoughts put forth by you. Shreya Agrawal has been our guest this morning. We appreciate you dropping by.